What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get started, I would like to apologize for not having a show on Monday. I had all intentions of having a show on Monday. I even had my whole outline of my show ready to go. But unfortunately, you know, I keep personal shit out of the show because this is a sports show and nobody gives a crap about my personal life. So basically a couple weeks ago, my water heater went out in my house. And here in the great state of Texas, unfortunately, we stupidly put the water heaters up in the crawl space. And usually when your water heater goes out, which inevitably is going to happen, the water heater going out is probably one of the most common things that is going to happen in your house. And it did in mine. And what happens is it leaks water all over the place. And so basically I had a waterfall of water in my house coming out of my water heater. It was really, really quite the adventure. But So, not only did I have to get a new water heater, but I've had a whole lot of stupid-ass shit going on with walls and ceilings and crap in my house. So, I've had a lot of fucking workers here, and basically what happened is on Monday, workers here too fucking late, and I just did not have time to put in a show. So, today, I am basically going to do what I already had on Monday's show. So, you know, I usually do the Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings for Monday. So, I am going to do my Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings for like I was going to on Monday, but just a little bit updated with, of course, a reflection of their record as it stands today. But I'll be recapping that and really just adding that in, really. But yeah, it's been quite the adventure with all this dumbass construction. But let's get into the show, and let's actually talk about some sports, beginning with the NBA Finals, which have actually been really fucking good. I mean, as a basketball fan, I kind of thought it was going to be good because I felt like these two teams in the playoffs specifically have been playing the best team basketball. And I mean, the Indiana Pacers are doing exactly what they have done in each and every round so far. I mean, Oklahoma City kind of is. Oklahoma City mostly trucked on through everybody. I mean, the Pacers are here for a reason, and it's been pretty awesome to watch both of these games. So on Sunday, we had game two, and Oklahoma City easily won that one, 123-107. SGA had a phenomenal game. He had 34 points. Williams had 19 points. Chet had 15 points. Caruso had 20 points and played some great defense as well. OKC, they did what they normally do. They took they tied the series up, and they really looked like OKC. I mean, not at any point in this game did Indiana look like they were going to win that game. But things changed in Game 3 on Wednesday night. Indiana took this one, 116-107. And, it was close, especially in the first half. It was close the majority of the way. Then in the second half, Indiana really started to pull away, especially in that third quarter. It really, to me, looked like Indiana was winning this. I really had, you know, it looked like at first, oh, this is going to be a close game. We're going to see what happens here. Then once the second half hit, Indiana, to me, looked like they were poised and ready to go, and they were playing excellent defense. But also what was going on in this game is Oklahoma City was turning the ball over like crazy. They actually ended up with 19 turnovers when it was all said and done in this one. And Indiana got the win, 116-107. Tyrese Halliburton had a double-double. He had 22 points, 11 assists, and 9 rebounds. Pascal Siakam had 21 points. And this is what I'm talking about with Indiana. They play that team basketball. They play great on the defensive side of the ball. I've been so impressed with them at the defensive level. Just in every single game they have played this season, they are playing such amazing defense. It is crazy to me that they are here, but the reason why they're here is because they are playing excellent team basketball, but defensively, they are taking care of business, and that's what they have to do with this Oklahoma City team. Because basically what they're doing is they're letting SGA do his thing, but they're not letting anybody else do their thing. And so it's really actually working in the favor of the Pacers. Game four is tonight, Friday night in Indiana. Indiana is up 2-1. Just imagine, they go up 3-1 tonight. Oh my God, Indiana. Like, I just am loving what I'm seeing from them. Oklahoma City, I don't expect them to get trucked. I actually, me personally, if I'm a betting person on this tonight's game, I feel like Oklahoma City's going to tie it up. And we're going to be headed 2-2 into game five. But Indiana just is playing excellent basketball, and they just are not scared. Defensively, they look really damn good. And like I said, they're letting SGA do his thing, And it's really hasn't mattered in especially the two wins that they got. So we'll see how the rest of this series go. But I've personally, as a basketball fan, really enjoyed the NBA Finals between two really solid teams here. All right, so moving on to baseball in the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. Like I said, this is based on last week. So I'm mostly going to be talking about the last week's matchups. I'm not even going to talk about this week's matchups simply because I'm going to be talking about them on Monday's show. So I'd rather just kind of do what I was going to do and just kind of rattle off what happened last week with the teams. And I mean, honestly, really much, a lot hasn't changed in the beginning of the week anyways. I really wouldn't have changed any of my power rankings so far. So let's get right into the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. Beginning with number one remains the Detroit Tigers. They are 45-25 on the season, 6-4 in their last 10 games. Last week, they split a series between the Chicago White Sox and then took the series over the Chicago Cubs. And they're just getting it done on all levels. I mean, offensively, Riley Green's having a phenomenal year. Spencer Torkelson's having a phenomenal year. And then, of course, like, Tarek Skubal is on a tear. He kind of started off the season slow, but the dude is back in Cy Young form. And, you know, the starting pitching core is just amazing. Just everything about this Detroit Tigers team is very impressive. And I really think the rest of the league needs to be put on notice because this team is playing excellent baseball. And I put them actually at a championship level team at this point in time. I mean, I know it's very early in the season. We haven't even hit the second half stride, but Detroit is just playing excellent baseball. And that's why they are ranked number one. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the New York Mets. Overall record of 45-24. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. Last week, they split the series with the Los Angeles Dodgers and took the series over the Colorado Rockies. Pete Alonso, he continues having his amazing season. But Juan Soto, he is getting hot. You know, he hasn't had a slump just yet. He's actually been doing really well. About the last three-ish weeks, he's been on fire. So it kind of looks like Soto's back in form. Unfortunately, it looks like they lost Kota Senga to an injury in last night's game. So we'll see what happens. I haven't seen if he's gone on the injured list or what the severity of the injury is. But he's been carrying the team like a dog all season long. I mean, the Mets, while they're great offensively, their starting pitching has been what's been carrying them all season. So losing Senga would be a big deal, but right now the Mets are soaring and playing excellent baseball. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Chicago Cubs, overall record of 42-27. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. Last week, they took the series over the Washington Nationals, but lost the series to the Detroit Tigers. And they're actually being carried by Jameson Taillon. I mean, he's just having a resurgence of his career over here in Chicago this year. I mean, he's been a journeyman. I mean, he's had a pretty solid career for the most part. It's just been marred by injuries overall. But this year, he's been the workhorse because Chicago's starting pitching keeps getting injured and injured. And so now Taillon has had to step in, and he's had a phenomenal season so far with 6 wins, a 3.54 ERA, and 58 strikeouts. So he's having quite the season. And then, of course, on the offensive side of the ball, Chicago is flawless and playing excellent baseball on the offensive side of the ball. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Los Angeles Dodgers, overall record of 41-28. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. They split the series with the New York Mets and lost the series to the St. Louis Cardinals. So it was not a good week for the Dodgers last week. I mean, they're still in the thick of things, of course, but I mean, they've been bouncing back and forth. But you know, Otani's been great. Freeman has been great. It's just really their starting pitching and their bullpen has been taking hit after hit after hit with the injuries. But on the offensive side of the ball, they've had zero issues. And, you know, I mean, they're still the Dodgers, so what the fuck? Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees, overall record of 42-25. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. Last week, they took the series over the Cleveland Guardians and lost the series to the Boston Red Sox. Aaron Judge, man, I didn't write down how many home runs he's had this week, but I think in his last 4 out of 5 games, he's had 4 home runs. He didn't play in last night's game. They let him rest. But before that, I think he had 4 home runs in the last 3 games or something like that. So he's just getting back in the grind. I mean, Judge has just been having a phenomenal year. I mean, there's really nothing bad you can say about the dude. Like I said, he's been better at the plate this year. He's been striking out less, and I mean, he's just been more. It hasn't been all about the home run ball, and even so, he's still hitting home runs like crazy. So he, of course, is having a great year. But another dude on the Yankees who's having a great year is Carlos Rodon. He is just dominating every single time he's been coming out at the starting pitcher position. Right now, he's got 8 wins on the season with a 2.87 ERA and 103 strikeouts. So he's just been striking everybody out. And this Yankees team, they've just been looking really, really good this year. And I would not be shocked to see them back in the World Series. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the San Diego Padres, overall record of, I kind of scribbled it in, I believe that's 38-29. I think it's 38 is what I got there. Yeah, like I said, I kind of had to rewrite some shit on this. But anyways, they are 5-5 in their last 10 games. Last week, they split a series with the San Francisco Giants and then took the series over the Milwaukee Brewers. And Manny Machado is just having a fantastic year. I mean, Machado's been very consistent and solid his entire year. It's just, you know, injuries happen. And last year, he kind of started off slow. I think the year before that, too, he started off slow. So it was kind of like he was still doing his thing, but he wasn't as dominant as he was. But this year, he is on fire and just carrying this team. Another dude carrying this team at the starting pitcher role is Nick Pivetta, having a resurgence of a type year. 6 wins on the season, 3.16 ERA with 76 strikeouts. And the San Diego Padres team, they've had their ups and downs. But, I mean, they've really been in the thick of things for the most part all season long. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that is getting hotter, and they actually took over their division lead this week, and that is the Houston Astros. Right now, they are 38-30, and they are 7-3 in their last 10 games. Last week, they took the series over the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Cleveland Guardians. Hunter Brown, he has been the dude at the starting pitcher role for them this year. 8 wins, 1.82 ERA, and 93 strikeouts. And, you know, starting pitcher has actually been kind of an issue for them to start the season. But now they're really starting to get going. Offensively, they're getting going. Isaac Paredes, he is just really fitting in with this team offensively. And you really got to watch out for the Houston Astros. I say it every single year. Even when they start off slow, you got to watch out for them because here they are at the top of their division. And they're one of the – this is obviously – this week's top 10 is definitely National League heavy as opposed to the American League because I just think the National League teams are doing a lot better right now and dominating a little bit more than the American League. But the Astros, they're starting to get going, and they are that team where it's like they still have a lot of veteran depth. They still have a lot of dudes from the championships that they've won, so you can never, ever, ever overlook the Houston Astros. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings is the San Francisco Giants. Overall record of 40-29. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. Last week, they split the series with the San Diego Padres, and they swept the Atlanta Braves. And it has been all about Robbie Ray this year. You know, when they signed Robbie Ray in the offseason, to me, that was just like, okay, I wasn't like upset about it, but I was kind of like, oh, you know, he might add a little bit of depth at the starting pitcher position. Nah, this dude has actually, he's been basically the ace. You know, Logan Webb, he's still having a great year himself. But Robbie Ray, you know, he's got 8 wins on the season, a 2.44 ERA and 87 strikeouts. He leads the team in all those categories right now. So, and it feels like every time he steps in at the starting pitcher position, the Giants just win the game. And it's because he's really difficult to score on this season. And he's really been just a hidden gem that I did not expect to have such a great season. But I'm really happy to see that he's doing that. And then also another guy who's having a great year is Eliot Ramos. He is batting .264. Jesus Christ, yeah. I scribbled in shit there, but he's batting .264 with 11 home runs and 33 RBI. He's been just basically flawless. Every time he comes up to bat, he's just been so clutch. He gets on base, and he's just driving in the runs like he needs to. And here the San Francisco Giants are. I did not expect them to still be in the thick of things, even at this point in the season, but I'm loving it so far. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings at the Philadelphia Phillies, overall record of 37-29, or is it 39-29? I think it's 39-29. Like I said, I kind of had to scribble in some shit here over my earlier week's stats. Yeah, I think it's 39 and 29. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games. Last week, they lost a series to the Toronto Blue Jays and then lost a series to the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's just been a roller coaster season for the Phillies. I mean, Kyle Schwarber has been pretty much the only consistent thing for them this year. I mean, they've had their ups and downs with a lot of their guys. Guys have been getting injured. The Phillies just, they're such a solid and good team. They just haven't found any level of consistency yet. But obviously, they're still a good team. They're still stacked. And, you know, they're still getting wins when they need to. It's just right now they're on the downside of things. And who knows, next week they'll be on the upside of things. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week at the St. Louis Cardinals, overall record of 36-33, and they are 3-7 in their last 10 games. This last week, they lost a series to the Kansas City Royals, but took the series over the Los Angeles Dodgers. And, you know, they are just getting it done as an all-around team. They're just, everybody's stepping up when they need to. Offensively, they're getting the runs when they need to. Guys are getting on base when they need to. But they're starting pitchers. They've all stepped in, and they all really just step it up. And they're being led by Sonny Gray this year. 7 wins, a 3.35 ERA, and 81 strikeouts. And St. Louis, you know, they are only 3-7 in their last 10 games, but for the most part, they've actually been playing really solid baseball this last 3-4 weeks. And it hasn't just been one guy. It's been just great team baseball overall from the St. Louis Cardinals. All right, and moving on to the top 5 this week. I think this is going to be the last week of the kind of theme that I've been doing basically since the NBA playoffs began. I've been picking certain guys from players of the past and doing their top playoff moments. And so this week I decided, let's save the best for last. Because in my opinion, if you don't know, I believe the greatest all-time basketball player ever, hands down, for many reasons. If you don't know, you can go. I archive all of my podcasts, so you can find it somewhere. But my number one overall NBA greatest player of all time is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So I decided to save him the best for last. And so this week we're doing the top 5 Kareem playoff moments. And he had a lot to choose from because he had quite the successful career from start to finish, honestly. So let's go ahead and get started with number 5. The top 4, they are all from the NBA Finals because, of course, he won 6 NBA Finals. But number 5 is actually the one that was not from an NBA Finals, and it was actually from his rookie year. It's from the 1970 Eastern Division Semifinals, Game 5. It was the game-clinching one where they moved on to the next round. It was actually against the Philadelphia 76ers, and this was his rookie season. Kareem scored 46 points and had 25 rebounds. So you just knew right from the jump. I mean, really, since he was drafted, everybody knew right from the jump he was going to be amazing. But, I mean, you just never know. But to come out in a rookie performance in a series-clinching game where you can move on to the next round, he stepped up, he showed out, and had a fantastic game. And he was only the second rookie ever to score that many points and have that many rebounds. I believe it was score more than 20 points and 20 rebounds in one game. Wilt Chamberlain was the other rookie to do such a thing. So that just goes to show you right off the bat, Kareem already was having Wilt Chamberlain dreams in his 1970 rookie season. Then at number 4 on my top 5 Kareem playoff moments, I have the 1987 NBA Finals Game 6 versus the Boston Celtics. This was the second time they beat the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals. But in this particular Game 6 NBA Finals clincher game, Kareem had 32 points, and he had a dominating game. But what it was is towards the end of the game, the Lakers just started to run away with it. And there's actually this highlight moment from Kareem and Magic where Magic just, boom, lobs the dagger to Kareem, and he just, boom, just dunks it on the motherfuckers. And it's like, peace out, Boston. We get the NBA Finals this time around. And they did in the 1987 NBA Finals. And it was just an amazing game from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Of course, an amazing game from Magic as well. He ended up with the NBA Finals MVP award in that one. But just in this particular game, Kareem just dominated. And he and Magic just had that amazing dagger moment at the end of the game. Then at number three on my top five Kareem playoff moments, I have the 1985 NBA Finals Game 6 versus the Boston Celtics. Now, what was so special about this one is it was the first time ever that the Los Angeles Lakers beat the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals. I mean, if you don't know the history of the Celtics versus the Celtics absolutely whooped on the Lakers for years. And so in 85, the year I was born, of course, that is when the Lakers finally were able to beat the Celtics in the NBA Finals. As a matter of fact, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar ended up being the NBA Finals MVP in this one. And in particular, in Game 6, he actually had 29 points in this one. And he actually, throughout the entire series, averaged 25.7 points per game, 9 rebounds per game, 5.2 assists per game, and 1.5 blocks per game. So it was just absolute domination by Kareem. And just a great NBA Finals moment for the Lakers as an entire organization, simply because we finally took down the dreaded Boston Celtics. Then at number two on my top five Kareem playoff moments, the 1980 NBA Finals Game 5 versus the Philadelphia 76ers. This in particular was his first championship with the Los Angeles Lakers. Second overall in his career, but his first ever championship with the Lakers. Actually, if you don't know the history of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with the Lakers, you know, when they traded for him, he was meant to be the dude who was going to take over and dominate, which he did, but we didn't dominate in the postseason. As a matter of fact, we struggled to even make the postseason in those first couple of years with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We actually didn't look good until we drafted Magic Johnson. And then that's when we finally actually became Showtime and a dynasty and a championship level team. They were not that good before Magic. So, I mean, it took a minute for them to get here. But what was crazy about this particular match, this particular game, now obviously it wasn't the, it actually wasn't the clinching matchup. They actually needed to do it in Game 6. This 1980 NBA Finals is actually the one where basically Magic Johnson in Game 6 had to take over for Kareem and play the center position when he was a point guard as a rookie. But anyways, so this was his first championship with the Lakers. And in Game 5, he actually ended up playing on an injured ankle. That's why he ended up not playing in Game 6, because his ankle was so fucked up. But he had 26 points pre-injury. Then he got injured, but he came back into the game and he played. And after his injury, he ended up actually with 14 points and 2 blocks. And that all happened in the fourth quarter. But there was another amazing Magic to Kareem moment in this particular matchup as well. I mean, when Kareem went out, like, the crowd was silent, because you knew it was like, well, shit, Magic's a rookie. And I mean, Magic was amazing when he, I mean, he always had high expectations from day one. So we all knew Magic was going to be great, but you did not know what was going to happen. We knew Kareem was the captain. Kareem was the dude. And Kareem went out and it was like, oh shit, there goes the championship. But not only did he come back and they won this game, but then he, even though he missed the last game, Magic was like, y'all, we're good. And he ended up basically winning Game 6 for us. And that was the first championship with the Lakers for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And then, of course, number one on my top five Kareem playoff moments, 1971 NBA Finals Game 4. This is when he played with the Milwaukee Bucks, and this is his first ever championship, and that is why it's number one. This is against the Baltimore Bullets, who are now the Washington Wizards. But, you know, this was a flawless season for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Mind you, this was his second season in the league. You know, I started off this top five with his amazing performance in the 1970 Eastern Division semifinals against the Philadelphia 76ers, and how he scored 46 points and 25 rebounds. But this was an amazing overall season from Kareem. It's probably, you know, I could probably rank every season he's played in his entire career. But this was probably his best. It's definitely one of his top two. But it's probably his best season overall. It was his first championship. And I mean, with the Milwaukee Bucks, you got to understand that this is a nobody team. They're still a nobody team, but they were really, really a nobody team when Kareem played with them. So this was their first championship ever. He won the MVP that year, but he also won the finals MVP. This was a clean sweep by the Milwaukee Bucks. And they were the best team in the regular season. They had Oscar Robertson. So, I mean, that was another reason why this team was so good in this particular season. But Kareem just was so flawless in this season. So that's why I had to put it number one, not only because it was his first championship ever, but he just dominated this entire year from start to finish. It was the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar year. That's why he won the MVP. That's why they were the best team in the regular season. Everything about Kareem in this season was so flawless, so amazing, and just such a fantastic year. In this overall NBA Finals, in this Game 4 performance, he had 27 points, 12 rebounds, and 7 assists. But overall, in the NBA Finals, he actually shot 60.5% from the line. So, I mean, like, or that was his shooting percentage was 60.5. So he's, like, hitting well over half of his shots in an entire NBA Finals series. So this was just an amazing, flawless season from him in a particular, but it was his first ever championship, and it was in such dominating fashion. I mean, you sweep the team out, so that, of course, that's obviously how amazing you were. But I'm sure Kareem would agree with me. This was probably one of his greatest seasons of all time. And, you know, just kind of looking over his career, like I said, I can't safely 100% say that would be number one, his greatest season ever. But I gotta say, it's probably top two for sure. But definitely on his playoff moments, in my personal opinion, that's gotta be number one. Because, I mean, the first of your six championships, just kind of the trials and tribulations that Kareem went through. Because really, if you look at Kareem's career from start to finish, it was not beautiful. It had its ups, it had its downs, it had its trials, it had its tribulations. He had some terrible injuries, and he just had some moments throughout his career where it's like, damn. But at the same time, it's like, damn, you were that fucking great. So Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I'm going to say it every single time until somebody takes over the number one spot, which I don't know if that's going to happen, but you know, you never know what's going to happen in the future. But to me, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the greatest basketball player of all time. So that is the top five Kareem playoff moments. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.